Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is episode 180 of the Distraction Pieces podcast. My name is Scroobius Pip, and today I'm all on my own. I'm sitting in the lovely Distraction Pieces studio. You might be able to hear in the background, I've got the heaters on because I've not been keeping it too hot. But I'm going to sit here for however long it takes and go over my films of 2017. It's my top 16 films. The reason it's 16 is that that fits nicely on an Instagram post. I'll give the history of this. This has become one of my most awaited / debated posts each year. I always do, for a few years now, I've done my films of the year, and Brett Goldstein does as well, and we often debate back and forth over them. But I'll do my posts on social media, and there'll be a lot of people who don't agree and a lot of people that do agree. I always have this big thing where I say it's fine to not agree, but don't tell me what I should have seen, because you don't know what I have seen. And just because it's not on my list, it doesn't mean I haven't seen it. I get really, I know it's all pedantic, but I get really annoyed over it all, because people will be like, you should have seen this film. And I'll be like, well, you don't know that I didn't. Our tastes are different. Like, there's going to be some films in here that some of you are going to get annoyed at, and there's going to be some that aren't in here that some of you are going to get annoyed at, I'm sure. But it's different tastes. But on this year's post, and at the end of this podcast, actually, I'm going to give the full list of films I saw at the cinema to try and escape that angle. And it's loads. It's a lot. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. We're obviously brought to you, as ever, by speechdevelopmentrecords.com. Head over there for all your winter goodies. There's, hooks aside, there's, if you're looking for something as a Christmas gift or a stocking filler, our signed section is a good bet. We've got the Distraction Pieces book. We've got my graphic novel of poetry. We've got some CDs, some vinyl in there. We've got my live DVD, which is a two-disc set that's I'm really proud of. And they're all signed, and that's something a bit unusual and special. But also, we've obviously got all the stuff I've been pushing all winter with bubble hats, scarves, T-shirts, everything. In fact, we stocked up the T-shirts to do a few of them in double XL and triple XL because we had a few people requesting. So we have listened to you. But yeah, speechdevelopmentrecords.com. Check that out. Now, if it's okay with you, I'm going to have Buddy Peace drop the goddamn theme tune, and we're going to get into our films of 2017. Let's do this. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. Right, the first thing, as said, I need to tell you is that this is my list of films of 2017. It's just what I've enjoyed the most. It's not telling you it's better than your choices. It can't be wrong, because it's my list, and your list can't be wrong because it's your list. These are the things I argue the most about on social media every time I post this. And I'll be posting the image. I've made an Instagram post. I'll be posting that after these podcasts have gone out. The order I'm going to be giving them to you in isn't order of best. I've not ranked them. I've just picked my top 16. The way I did it is at the start of the year, I had a thing in my notes and I listed every time I went to the cinema. And then as I came to this, I put a little star by the ones that I thought might make my end of year list. And then I've whittled that down to my final 16. And as I said, the 16 is because it fits in an Instagram post. So rather than being in an order of preference, they're in order that I saw them. So generally order of release in the UK. There's a couple I saw in the US, but generally order of release in the UK. And yeah, and the order I saw them in. So let's start at the beginning. The first one, and interestingly, I'll tell you now, I'm going to give you the full list at the end, but at the beginning of the year, or not all at the beginning, there's three films essentially I'm looking at on my list of films I've seen. There's three that had stars by them, and they're La La Land, Moonlight, and Train to Busan. Now, I saw all of those this year in the cinema, but they came out last year, and I've exploited that fact because I was really struggling to whittle it down to 16. So they're three that might have been battling for a position here. But the first one I'm going to go with, which was actually the first film I saw this year, is Trainspotting 2. It blew me away. I loved it. I went in really cautious and really nervous because I loved the first Trainspotting, and it's been a long old time, and it's tough to return to things, and sometimes you should leave things as they were, untouched. And it was a film that came out originally and was kind of small and gritty. I know it was big, but it was a gritty, everyone in it was pretty much unknown, and then since then it's become iconic, it's become cult. The soundtrack has become as legendary as the film, the posters has become as legendary as the film, and you know, the bulk of the cast have become hugely well known. So it was a risky one, and also the big risk was over the fact it was called T2 Trainspotting, which I didn't enjoy at all. T2 is Terminator 2. That's what T2 is. Trainspotting 2 should just be Trainspotting 2, not T2. I'm still not happy about that. But for me, it delivered on every level. It had the nostalgia hits. It had the shots that were referencing the original, but again, it didn't just try and replicate or linger there. So yeah, I absolutely adored it. I'm going to tell you now, because of the next film choice, don't panic, it's not all just people I've had on the podcast. There are, hang on, let me look, one, two, no, 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 three, four, five, six, there's six, I think, that of people who I've had on the podcast, but that's not why I picked it. There's loads that were people on the podcast that haven't made the cut, and it's not hating on any of them. Again, if it just because it doesn't make my end of the year list, it doesn't mean it's a bad movie. It just means that there were other films I enjoyed more. So next up is Sing, and Sing I watched because of a podcast. I got offered Garth Jennings and was invited to a screening, and I'd accepted Garth because I'm a fan of his work in general. I really enjoyed Son of Rambo. I've enjoyed his music videos, and more, as much as anything, I've enjoyed him on Adam Buxton's podcast. So I accepted it because I liked Garth, and then it was like, oh, here's the film. Do you want to go and see it? And I was like, oh, God, if this is rubbish, it's going to be really awkward. But I adored it. I genuinely loved it. And this feels like one that potentially people are going to be annoyed I've put on over other films that came out this year that are maybe more or grown-up films, I guess. It's a kid's film. If you're not familiar with it, I should give a bit of a breakdown. You all know that Trainspotting 2 is the sequel to Trainspotting 1, and it's continuing the story of, or a reunion of Renton and Sick Boy and Spud and Begbie and all of those. So that is what it is. I don't need to tell you much. Sing, if you don't know, is from Illumination, who did Minions and Despicable Me and all that. And when I was in France recently, I went to visit Garth just for a catch-up at the Illumination offices. And I had to sign a non-disclosure thing, so I couldn't take any pictures, but there were like Minions and stuff about, and loads of cool stuff, so I enjoyed that. But Sing is set in a city where everyone's an animal, and there's this little koala who runs a theatre, and basically he sets up a talent contest to save his theatre. And again, you're probably listening to this and going, this just sounds stupid, but man, the characters are so wonderful. I absolutely adored it. The songs are brilliant. And the thing that I think was great about it, and I discussed this with Garth in the podcast, is a lot of people, me included at points, are cynical and don't like reality TV shows like X Factor and Britain's Got Talent and all that. And the thing that we don't like about it is how contrived it is and how planned and thought out and But even if we don't like it, I guarantee you, you've watched at some point and they've done the sob story bit or they've done something and then the person starts singing and they're wonderful and the crowd cheer and you well up a little bit. Like, they're amazing at getting that same thing every time, but getting your emotions. And what I loved about Sing was they got to use those tropes and setups, but you didn't have the issue of it being contrived and set up, because it's an animation. It's meant to be set up and thought out and contrived and planned. So you could just lose yourself in those perfectly realised, using the exact right song at the exact right time, and the crowd reacts and all this. I absolutely adored it. So Sing is the next one on my list. I'm going to get the next one up on IMDb, because I want to be careful on what I say, because the next one on my list is Get Out. And I saw that twice in the cinema. That's how much I enjoyed it. I saw it in America, and then I caught it when I came home. I loved it. I went to see Get Out. Oh, it's a tough one, because it's being raved about. It's up for awards. There's a lot of controversy, because it's up for, I think it's in the, which one is it? The Golden Globes. It's up for, it's in the best comedy category, which is tough, because, I mean, the writer, Jordan Peele, he's a comedian. He was in Key and Peele, which, if you've not seen their sketch show, it's great. It was hilarious. But yeah, it's not really a comedy. It's unusual. It's hard to define what it is, and that's what was great about it, was I was told very little about it, and I was told not to read up much about it. That's the reason I'm reluctant to say too much to you. I guess it's kind of a horror. And it is. It's a horror. Let me see what the breakdown here is. It's time for a young African-American to meet his white girlfriend's parents for a weekend in their secluded estate in the woods. But before long, the friendly and polite ambience will give way to a nightmare. That's not giving away too much, I don't think. But yeah, it blew me away. I absolutely adored it. The writing and the acting was just perfect. It told a really intriguing story. It had twists and turns, but it also made great social commentary. I remember reading one review, it allowed black people to be scared in a movie for once, rather than being the scary. And that was a good point. The thing that really caught my eye on it was when it came out, Chance the Rapper, who's a rapper I really like, he went to see it in the cinema, and when he came out, he bought all the tickets for the next week or something and just said, everyone has to see this. I've paid for all the tickets. Just go and see it for free. And that made me go, man, that's a hell of an endorsement. So I checked it out while I was in... I've made 3 trips to America this year on work, and this one, I landed, and on the day I landed, I had the evening free and I went to see it because I knew I was going to have a hectic week and I hadn't planned anything, obviously, for the day I'd landed because I'm traveling. And I thought, if I don't go and see it now, I might not catch it. So I went to see it and it was blooming wonderful. So yeah, Trainspotting 2, Sing and Get Out. And following that is another film I saw in America. Did I see it over here first? I saw it over here first. Did I? I think it might have been on my second trip to America this year. I saw it. It's another film I saw twice. It's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I adore it. In fact, I saw it twice in the cinema, and I've watched it once on DVD or on demand since. I just love it. The first Guardians came out 2 years ago, and I went to see it on my birthday. On my birthday, I like to go and see a film in the daytime. Often on my own, I enjoy solo cinema. And yeah, I went to see Guardians not knowing what to expect, and it blew me away. So this year, Guardians 2 came out, and I thought it was just amazing. I thought the development of Michael Rooker's character was great. I loved Baby Groot, and I thought they were restrained with Baby Groot. And when you've invented such a cute character, it could be easy to sling him just in every scene and constantly, but I thought they showed great restraint with Baby Groot. And I just thought the story was great. I thought it looked beautiful. The additions to the cast were great. Because it was a scary one. Because the first one came out, and although it's a big Marvel film, it didn't have as much expectation as your Avengers or whatever else. Because Guardians is a smaller franchise. So it came out and took everyone by surprise. And I was worried that now it's a banker as such, they were going to add tons of people. But the people they added, Sylvester Stallone in a small role and Kurt Russell in an important role, were perfect. They fitted the tone just right. And the tone continued to just have that humour whilst also telling a dramatic story and having all the action and excitement of a comic book film. So I loved that. So that's my number four. I should mention at this point, I forgot to mention it at the start, and this isn't a plug and this isn't paid for, but my voice went really weird then. I've got an Odeon Unlimited card, and for my birthday, my mum got me a Cineworld Unlimited type card thing, and they're great because, as you can see, or particularly when I read my list out at the end, I go and see a lot of films. If you don't go and see a lot of films, it's not worth getting one of these unlimited cards. But if you do, it's well worth it. Because the other thing that I found, although there's a lot of films I would choose to go and see anyway, if you've got one of these unlimited cards, which means you just get in for free, you'll go and see films you might not have seen. Because I'll have an afternoon spare and there's no cost or risk. So I'll just check something out. And there you go. I found a new favourite. So, yeah. I enjoy them. I'd also take this point to say, if anyone from Odeon or Cineworld are listening, I'll be doing the film list next year as well. So feel free to hook me up with with a free unlimited card. Holler at your boy. I'm on social media. Come at me, bro. I just love cinemas. It's part of what started these film lists. I love going into the cinema to watch films. I think in this day and age, if I'm watching anything at home, I'll be glancing at my phone, I'll be distracted, whereas in the cinema, if you get your phone out in the cinema, you're basically scum, in my opinion. So in the cinema, I'll truly get lost in a film and pay attention to everything, whereas at home, even if it's a film I'm excited about, I'll be glancing at my phone and generally distracted. But yeah, that is enough about that. Let's get on to number five. Number five is the first world cinema in the list. This is a film that I went to a preview screening of, and they had it's a horror. They had a guy there to keep an eye on people passing out or throwing up, which I thought was a bit extreme. It's a good film, it catches you, but yeah, apparently there'd been all sorts of reports of screenings where people were being sick or were passing out at what was going on. But I just thought it was a wonderfully realised, the wit and humour was great. It's called Raw. The plot on IMDb is just when a young vegetarian undergoes a carnivorous hazing ritual at vet school, an unbidden taste for meat begins to grow in her. Yeah. It's really good fun. It's about a young girl and her sister. It's kind of the relationship between her and her sister. And as I said, she's a young student attending vet school. And after the hazing ritual, which is a weird thing. Hazing's a weird thing. But part of the thing was that you had to eat this bit of raw meat. And she was like, I'm a vegetarian. But it's part of the hazing. And yeah, I won't go into too much detail, but it's really good fun. The humour is wonderful in the right places. The way it's shot and the way it's acted is fantastic. It does have bits that gross you out. I don't know if it's scary. It's alarming and uncomfortable. I spoke to a Jimmy Havoc once, who's a wrestler, who's going to be on our end of year drunk cast. And he was saying he realised, he does a lot of hardcore matches, and he realised that the stuff that really gets people is the more relatable stuff. So if he hits someone with a chair or throws them through a table, people have never been hit with a chair or thrown through a table. So whilst it's a bit shocking, it doesn't get a visceral reaction. Whereas Jimmy has got a thing where he'll get a bit of card or paper, and he'll open up someone's fingers and he'll put the card in between them and he'll give them a paper cut on the bit that joins your fingers. And it's hideous. Just thinking about it and now it makes me shiver a little bit. And that's the kind of horror or gore that's in this. It's realistic in its minimalistic levels, I guess. It's gory, but in a, yeah, I can imagine that kind of way. So yeah, that's Raw, R-A-W. It's a French film, and I think it's French. I could have got that wrong. And yeah, I blooming loved it. Next up on my list is another superhero movie. A lot of you who listen regularly will know I'm a big fan of superhero movies. So let's have a look how many are on my 16. There's only three in my 16. I wouldn't class any of the others as superhero. But the second one on my list is Logan. And I wouldn't even particularly class that as a superhero movie. There was an episode of Hardcore Listing where they had Tony Rod from MasterChef on. Was it Tony Rod? No, it wasn't. Or maybe it was Tony and he did too. But they picked their top five modern westerns. And it's westerns that aren't westerns as such. And this was on there because Logan is made like a western. It's shot like a western. It's told like a western. And I love it for that. It's gory and graphic and gets straight in as an adult movie. I'm really hoping it opens the eyes of all the studios that there can be a variation in comic book movies. I love Avengers and stuff like that, but they are very child-friendly. And things like Logan and Deadpool coming out and being very adult-targeted and then being huge successes, I'm hoping to draw people in that direction. But yeah, I'd recommend Logan to people, even if you aren't a comic book fan. It's really good. It's really blooming good. A lot of these are available on demand and all that kind of thing, so feel free to make note along the way and check some of them out and let me know what you think. Next up is a film I saw while I was filming in Leeds, and it's weird actually because I was doing a film earlier this year in Leeds called A Walk Like a Panther, and I'd been called to set in the morning, and I was sat in the car waiting to go to set, and I was chatting with Christopher Fairbank, who I ended up doing a podcast with, if you want to go back and check that one out. And just as we were about to leave, I was told I wasn't needed that day. So I took myself off. I rushed off to see this next film because it wasn't on locally to me. I checked out film times and it was on, and I wanted to check it out, which meant this film took me 20 minutes or so to adjust to because, unbeknownst to me, a Christopher Fairbank was in it. So I struggled to have that suspension of disbelief because it was like, oh, that's the bloke I was just sat in the back of a car with. But it's a Lady Macbeth, and it's wonderful. Here's the description on IMDb. In 19th century rural England, a young bride who has been sold into marriage discovers an unstoppable desire within herself as she enters into an affair with a worker on her estate. It's wonderful. It's a period piece shot like no period piece I've seen before. It was directed by a William Oldroyd, and it was his first proper film, I think, again, just from speaking to Chris Fairbank. This was kind of his debut, and it's bold as hell, particularly as a debut. It's also got Florence Pugh, who I hope to have on the podcast soon, because she's amazing in this, and she's in a film coming up called Fighting My Family, or Fighting With My Family, and it's the story of Paige in the WWE and her family, who are all wrestlers. And I chat to a few of them, so I know a few of them, so I'm looking forward to catching that. But Florence Pugh and Cosmo Jarvis in this have just absolute star turns. I'd not seen either of them in anything until now, and they're just, I could have watched them for hours and hours and hours. Their interaction is great, but in general, Florence's performance is just it's just wonderful. I can't recommend it highly enough. And yeah, it's made in this stark, dark manner. It's actually an adaptation of, I think it's a Russian novel, but that was originally, I'm sure it was an opera. I'm sure, because my brother had told me about it. I'm sure it was originally an opera, and the problems my brother had was they changed certain parts of the story to make them a little bit more palatable, and he preferred the version in the opera. But not knowing those alternative versions, I didn't think anything felt particularly palatable or cleaned up. It's wonderful. Hour and a half long, great performances from people I didn't particularly know before this. Christopher Fairbank, bizarrely, obviously, I recognise because he's been in loads of stuff. But other than that, I didn't know any of the staff cast. And yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Oh, that's it. It's based on Lady Macbeth of MTSENSK, which is by Nikolai Leskov, and it was adapted by Alice Birch. So yeah, I recommend that. It's blooming cracking. Next up is Dunkirk. Man, what a film. I'm not the biggest fan of war films. I think there's been some good ones, but it's not particularly a genre I rush towards. I'm not against them, but it's not one that I rush towards. But I am a fan of Christopher Nolan, and I am a fan of Cillian Murphy, and I am, of course, a fan of Thomas Hardy. And Tom invited me along to the premiere of this, and I was like, great. I took Brett Goldstein along as my date, previous podcast guest and last year's Drunkcast special guest. So we're all suited and booted, and I've not been to loads. I've been to a few premieres, and they're often a weird experience because it's a bit... I like to watch a film in a cinema with my feet up on the chair in front, hot dog, ice cream, sweets, all the works. And you often... premieres, you're all suited and booted. Like Harry Styles is in this, so the premiere was crazy with Hardy and Styles and Cillian Murphy and Kenneth Branagh, all these people. But within the first 10 minutes, I did not feel like I was at a premiere anymore. The sound design in this is so overwhelming and restrictive. It makes you feel like it makes you feel just completely uncomfortable and on edge from the very beginning. And they nailed that throughout the whole film. Everyone is great in it. There was a lot of, what's Harry Styles doing in it? The best review I saw was he didn't stand out in the best possible way. And that was it. I thought it was amazing. I was chatting about it afterwards. And this isn't a spoiler, but someone pointed out that it's obviously based on Dunkirk, the Battle of Dunkirk. And someone pointed out afterwards that all the tension and that, you never actually see any Germans. And it made me realise that it took from a lot of the best horrors. It's all about what you don't see. And the tension is just built so much from the sound and from the threat and from everything else. And yeah, it was good. So yeah, that was Dunkirk. Next up, a film I saw a trailer for when I went to see Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And I chatted to one of the cast members, Sophia Bertella, in what I would argue is the best episode of the podcast this year. There's been a few. I'm pleased with all of them, but that was one that took me by surprise. I expected it to be good, and it was just amazing. And at that point, I'd only seen the trailer for this. I hadn't seen the film. But yeah, have I said the name of it? It's Atomic Blonde. The trailer blew me away. It really excited me, and as soon as it came out, I went to see it. I went to see it before the live hardcore listing earlier this year in Soho Square. Hoxton Square. Where? Hoxton Square, yeah. And it was just amazing. I love, what's his name? David, why have I got a Lynch in my head? Hang on, I'm looking it up. Atomic Blonde. Yeah, David Lynch. Who was a stunt coordinator back in the day on Fight Club and the Bourne Identity and the 300 and all sorts of things like that. And yeah, he's fantastic. He's doing the new Deadpool, unless I'm very much mistaken. Oh, I'm not mistaken. He did John Wick. He directed John Wick, and he directed this, and he's directing the new Deadpool, which is hugely exciting because obviously I'm a big Deadpool fan. I've mentioned that a million times on the podcast. But yeah, Atomic Blonde blew me away. It's got Charlize Theron and James McAvoy, who's also been on the podcast this year. I think this year, yeah. So James McAvoy, another guest of this year, so check that out. It's got Eddie Marsden in, who I always love, and Toby Jones and John Goodman. So it's got some really good people. Bill Skarsgård is in it. I remember that. He played It in It this year. But yeah, let's have a look at the description. An undercover MI6 agent is sent to Berlin during the Cold War to investigate the murder of a fellow agent and recover a missing list of double agents. Yeah, that about sums it up. But it's a wonderful, Charlize Theron is amazing as a kick-ass, badass, / kick-ass, badass agent. And there's a fight scene on, I think it was David Leitch who did the Daredevil stunt work. I could be wrong. I could have imagined that. I'm sure he was involved in it in some way. But yeah, there's a fight scene in this that's one of the best fight scenes I have ever seen in my life. It's on some stairs. He does a lot of one-shot stuff, and you'll know if you've seen my stunner video or introduction video or no Nimbus video or no Whimpers video or Hungry by War and Peace video. I love a one-shot. So yeah, it's fantastic. The soundtrack's amazing. The performances are amazing. Check it out. So next up on the list is Detroit with young Mr. Will Poulter, who's been on the podcast, who I think is going to get a lot of nominations for this performance. It was great. And who incidentally came along to the last We Are Lizards of the year. So at least you don't have to hear me plug in We Are Lizards for the next few weeks. We will be back on January 27th, FYI. That's my club night. And Detroit was great. Again, I won't go into tons and tons of detail because we talked about it on the episode that Will Poulter was on. But it's a fact-based drama set during the 1967 Detroit riots. But it's got a bit of its own story going on. The big thing that happened in those riots was a police officers respond to a complaint with retribution rather than justice on their minds. And it felt painfully topical and relevant and poignant because of all the race issues going on in America this year. And literally as it came out was as the Nazi rally had happened and that scumbag had run someone over and killed them and just doing... It's painfully poignant, as I said, but it's really enjoyable. I went in expecting it to just be heavy, and it is heavy, and it is a drama, but the tone is lovely, the partying atmosphere, the vibe of Detroit at that time, because that was a musical hub as well, you know. John Boyega is amazing in it, and, I mean, everyone's fantastic in it, but a John Boyega and Will Poulter in particular just have real breakout star turns in this, so I recommend it highly. Next up on my list is a film called Beach Rats. I had on one of my trips to America, I keep going on about my trips to America, I had 3 days or 2.5 days in New York, and I recorded an episode of the podcast with Gene Gray and an episode with Johnny Lee Miller. But I also, I had a spare afternoon, so I looked at what films were on. And one of the films that were on was a film called Beach Rats, and it was on in Brooklyn, and it's set in Brooklyn. the description on IMDb. A Brooklyn teenager spends his days experimenting with drugs and looking online for older men to meet with. And the reviews were good. And I thought I'd check it out, and it blew me away. The lead performance from a young lad called Harris Dickinson was so natural and so wonderfully done. I guess it would come under gay cinema. I know it was part of a gay season they had at this particular cinema, but it's a wonderful exploration of that. Even the lead character doesn't particularly consider himself to be gay, but he does have kind of interactions with older men online and meets up with them and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a wonderful film. It meanders along and just has a truth and realness to it that just blew me away. It didn't feel as if it was trying to push a message or agenda or build the drama. And I know that's partly what we want from cinema, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it's fantastic. So yeah, I highly recommend Beach Rats. I think it's up for a load of awards. It was a winner of a Sundance Award. It was a winner of New Directors and New Films Award. Just all sorts of stuff. RogerEbert.com says, Harris Dickinson is a revelation. So believable that you forget you're watching a performance. And yeah, that sums it up. In fact, I read that and that's what drew me to go and see it. I read that quote and it drew me in. But everyone in it is fantastic. There was who was the young lady in it? Madeline Weinstein. And she was just wonderful. Just so natural and engaging. And yeah, I recommend it highly. Let me go on to the next one. So let me give you an update so far. So it's been Trainspotting 2, Sing, Get Out, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Raw, Logan, Lady Macbeth, Dunkirk, Atomic Blonde, Detroit, and Beach Rats. And we've got five more to go. Next up, Death of Stalin. Again, I won't go into huge amounts of detail on this because I did a podcast with Armando Iannucci, but I adored this. It was fantastic. The ensemble cast was hilarious. It's taken... I saw a few things, a few articles online that broke down the inaccuracies in it. And mate, it's a comedy. If it follows essentially Stalin's last days and depicts the chaos of the regime after his death, the battle for power, the backstabbing. But the cast is just amazing, from Steve Buscemi to Rupert Friend to Michael Palin. Simon Russell Beale is an absolute show stealer. I'd only seen him in stage prior to this. Paul Whitehouse in there. So many good people. Paddy Considine, Jason Isaacs. It's really good and it's hilarious. And it's classic Armando Iannucci, isn't it? It's witty and engaging throughout. And just, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And not being that up to date on a lot of the history, I felt a little bit educated, even though it's historically inaccurate. Next up, Brawl in Cell Block 99. Again, this is one that I've mentioned a lot, so I won't go into crazy detail. I had the writer and director S. Craig Zahler on previously, so I recommend you check that out. But man, I went to a preview of it, and I came out. It's the first film in a while that I've come out and text Chris of the Drunk Cast immediately and said, mate, I've seen this film, you're going to like it. It revolves primarily around Vince Vaughn, and Jennifer Carpenter is his missus in it, who is the sister in Dexter, and she's great. But it's got Don Johnson in and Udo Kier. Just, it's got a lot of good people, but it's the writing and directing that just blows you away. Briefly, a former boxer turned drug runner lands in a prison battleground after a deal gets deadly. Yeah, I loved it. I'm a fan of the way S. Craig Zahler works. He did Bone Tomahawk, which was a favourite of mine from previous years. And his violence is incredibly violent, but not shot in the choppy, cutty way that's popular with violence now. It's shot in a kind of slow, uncomfortable, methodical way, which doesn't allow you to look away. It kind of confronts you with it, and you go, oh, God, this is out. And Vince Vaughn is just instantly convincing as a hard-as-nails dude, because if we didn't all know him as this comedy guy, he's about 6'6". He's a monster of a man. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that. It's fantastic. But I've talked about it a lot, so I'll leave that there. Next up, we're down to our last three. And next up is Colossal. Now, I really enjoyed this. Let me see. Let me get some details out for you. Because the writer and director, Nacho Vigalondo, wrote and directed one of my favourite films, Time Crimes. And when I had my monthly night at the Prince Charles Cinema, the first film I showed there was Time Crimes. And I accidentally, apparently, gave it its UK premiere because it's a film that was a small independent. It didn't get a proper cinema release in the UK, but it blew up a little bit online and on DVD. And I screened it there, and I hit Nacho up on Twitter and said, can you do me a little video? And he did an amazing little video. And yeah, I wasn't aware, but it turns out it was the UK a premiere of it. So I'd heard hype about this film with Anne Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis, amongst many others. Dan Stevens is in it, who I really like. Not Dan Lissac, but I liked him in, what is it? Is it The Guest, is it called? Let me look now. Yeah, The Guest. He was fantastic in that. And yeah, it's wonderful. Let's give the description. Gloria is an out-of-work party girl forced to leave her life in New York City and move back home. When reports surface that a giant creature is destroying Sorel, that place, she gradually comes to the realization that she may somehow be connected to this phenomenon. It's wonderful. It's mental and batshit and bizarre, but it also, I don't know, it looks at depression and alcoholism and different things and jealousy and relationships, control. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. So essentially, yeah, Anne Hathaway Gloria is a bit of an alcoholic, and her relationship falls apart because of this, and she moves back home. And at the same time, a monster appears and smashes like up a load of the city and then vanishes. And it's news all over the world. And then she starts to notice that maybe there's a connection in some way. And it's really good. So I recommend that. What is next up? Oh, this was cracking. And this was a tough one because the UK release has just been announced as January. So it's tough, but I saw it at the end of the London Film Festival. It's Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. It's written and directed by Martin McDonagh, who did Seven Psychopaths, which is one of my favourite films, In Bruges, which everyone I liked more than me. I enjoyed In Bruges, but I really enjoyed Seven Psychopaths. Yeah, so I'm a fan of him. And then one of the stars of it is Sam Rockwell, who I'm a massive fan of. Other stars of it are Caleb Landry Jones, who was in Get Out, but I first saw him in X-Men, was it First Class? Where he's playing Banshee. And I really liked his face. He's got a great face. So there's some good people. And then you add kind of co-leads, so there's kind of three leads. I'd say Sam Rockwell, Woody Harrelson, and then the lead of Frances McDormand, who puts on just such an amazing performance. She was in Fargo, and has been in loads of stuff, but she's just amazing in it. It's based on a true story, I believe. Have I just made that up? I might have made that up. If it isn't based on a true story, then I apologise. But the description is, a mother personally challenges the local authorities to solve her daughter's murder when they fail to catch a culprit. So basically, what happens is, she lives in this small town, or Ebbing, Missouri. You'll get that from the name. And her daughter is killed, and it's not pretty. It's quite horrific. And the police aren't solving anything, so she rents the three billboards on the way in and just kind of holds them to task and says, why haven't you found anything out? Like, what's going on? And directly names the chief of police, and it causes all sorts of news stories, and it's just wonderful. All of the interactions, Sam Rockwell as ever, I love his performances, I love all the little nuances. There's a particular tiny little reaction that he gives at one point that I was just like, mate, that's what I want to be doing as an actor. I want to aspire to be on that kind of level with these little nuances and touches that are just, yeah, are wonderful. But yeah, it's really good, and everyone in it is just puts in a hell of a performance. Right, we're on to the last one. After the last one, I'll give I'll go through the list of everything I saw, but I'll do that a lot quicker. Last up is Thor Ragnarok. Now, I liked the first Thor. I thought it was amazing, particularly considering how hard Thor is to make remotely credible. Thor was the one I saw as the toughest to turn into a film, a modern film. But I thought they'd done a decent job. Enjoyed them all. Enjoyed them in the Avengers stuff. And then this one came along, the third one. And it's by Taika Waititi, who I'm a big fan of anyway. He directed What We Do in the Shadows and Hunt for the Wilder People, and the Boy, I think it was called. I watched that the other day. He's fantastic. He's hilarious, and he brings that to this. They've made just the most enjoyable comedy. His character in this is just astounding. A Jeff Goldblum is also added to the cast here, and that's fantastic. But Taika plays Korg, who's one of the funniest characters I've seen. Interestingly, Carl Urban plays a character called Scourge. I don't think I've told anyone this, but I auditioned for that role, and I'd been told was it was an untitled Marvel film. So I never knew what it was until I was watching this, and he started doing the very lines that I did in this studio I'm in now, is where I filmed it. And yeah, he's great. He's way better than me. He's Carl Urban. He was Dredd. He was amazing as Dredd. Of course he gets it over me. Good choice. I applaud that casting. But yeah, it's fantastic. Again, it's one that I feel, even if you aren't into superhero movies, you should be going and seeing this, because the comedy is just wonderful. The tone is great. The story's fun. And it was great to see. This is one example of, though, I'm giving a negative here, of why I try and avoid trailers. I watch them in the cinema, but I won't watch them on YouTube or whatever else, because I guess in the cinema, at least I'm getting the full impact of it. But superhero movies are killer for that. And I felt that this was one, that there was a couple of points that if I'd seen it just in the film and not had the trailer, I would have gone crazy. But because I knew it was coming, it numbed it a little bit. I thought that with the Batman that had Bane in, because that bit, the big bit in the football stadium, was just amazing. But that was the trailer. So when that happened in the film, I'd watched the trailer about 100 times up to that, so it took the impact out. But yeah, that is my last one. I absolutely adored it. Thor a Ragnarok. Obviously, I'm recording this before I've seen Justice League, which I will go and see, even though everyone says it's not awesome. And there'll be a Star Wars out, won't there, at Christmas. But I'm getting this in there now. So they're my films. Let me give you the run through again, and then I'll tell you all the ones I've seen. So, Trainspotting 2, Sing, Get Out, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Raw, Logan, Lady Macbeth, Dunkirk, Atomic Blonde, Detroit, Beach Rats, The Death of Stalin, Brawl in Cell Block 99, Colossal, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and Thor Ragnarok. Now, I think all of them, except for Thor and Stalin, are currently on demand on different things, whether it be on iTunes or Amazon. Check them out. And Three Billboards Outside Erin, Missouri comes out next year. But it's a cool independent film, so I do urge you to go and support that in the cinema and give it the chance it deserves, or give us the chance we deserve to have more films of that tone, because it's a cinematic success, hopefully. And let's go through the films I saw this year in order. The first four I saw in 2 days, so I did two double bills at the Greenwich Odeon. So that's Trainspotting 2 and La La Land, Split and Lego Batman. Now, Lego Batman and Split were both on the list for a long time to get in the films of the year, but just slipped out. Then Moonlight, Sing, Roar, John Wick 2, I thought was cool. It didn't add much to John Wick to me, but it made me the ending made me excited about what's to come. As similar to Split, there was a bit at the end of the Split that just had me super hype. Logan, Get Out, Kong, Skull Island, I enjoyed, and me and Chris I went to see in Cineworld 4D, which is fun, but possibly a bit much, like your seats move and all that, but it was all right. Train to Busan, Kicks, I enjoyed Kicks. It's a little film about a young kid in LA who gets a pair of red Air Jordans, and that's all he wants, and it means the world. And then it's really enjoyable, actually. That came close. It's good fun, because it then shows the risks of putting such value on material things. It's good. Ghost in the Shell, enjoyed that. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Free Fire, I really enjoyed. City of Tiny Lights, Riz Ahmed, I enjoyed that. King Arthur, I enjoyed that despite being cut out of it. Low Riders, I saw that in LA, and that was great to see in the right atmosphere. Lost City of Z, that was fantastic, and that was close to being in the list. It's been overlooked a lot, but it's Charlie Hunnam in a proper just acting and grown-up role. It's not a heartthrob role. It's really good. Bleed for This, that was cool. A Lady Macbeth, Alien Covenant, Wonder Woman, Dunkirk, Baby Driver, Spider-Man Homecoming. I really enjoyed Baby Driver, but I was annoyed with myself because I saw it in my local cinema. It was in the small screen, and I felt I should have seen it on a big screen with a big sound system, as music was so key to it. Spider-Man Homecoming I thought was great. War of the Planet of the Apes, I love that. Life I thought was good fun. Valerian I thought had some of the best science fiction ideas I've ever seen, so that was a lot of fun. Atomic Blonde, Detroit, Hitman's Bodyguard, The Belko Experiment, that's from James Gunn, the writer and director of Guardians, and that's great fun. That's an office, and they basically get locked in and told that they have to, I can't remember the exact numbers, but say there's 30 of them, they have to kill 5, otherwise all of them will be killed, kind of thing. And it's then, I loved it, because you're like, in your workplace, you'll think of things like that. Who would they kill? Or what choice would they make? I refuse to kill anyone. That's good fun. Victorian Abdul, I really enjoyed. Logan Lucky, I really enjoyed. It, I thought was great. Brawling Cell Block 99. Kingsman The Golden Circle. The Mummy. Colossal. Berlin Syndrome. That was a cool little indie. Beach Rats. Mother, I thought was all right, but I didn't enjoy it as much as everyone else seemed to. The Snowman, I got a lot of stick for that because everyone seemed to hate that. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I had Fassbender on the podcast. And the thing I liked about it was that it had the pacing and patience of like a BBC drama rather than a big blockbuster film. But that seemed to be what everyone else hated about it. And therefore, they all thought I was lying in saying I liked it. No, I did. Again, it didn't make my films of the year. Next up is Blade Runner 2049. That's the one I'm going to get a lot of texts and emails about for not being in my top 16. It was close, and I thought it was good. But again, I didn't see in it what everyone else saw in it would seem. But don't get mad at me. It's fine. I'm glad it's on your films of the year list. That was the one that I looked at and thought people are going to be mad that Sing, a kids' film, made it into my list, and Blade Runner didn't. But I really enjoyed Sing. The enjoyment I got from Sing, sitting there in the cinema in the moment, was greater than the enjoyment I got from Blade Runner, which was still high. I liked it. I'm not hating on anything. Death of Stalin, 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Thor Ragnarok, and Happy Death Day. I enjoyed Happy Death Day. It was this shock hit in America. Everyone, it came out of nowhere and just was hugely popular. So I went to see it and thought it was cool. It's a bit of a Groundhog Day type thing, but it's enjoyable enough, but didn't make my films of the year. By the time this comes out, I will probably have seen two or three more films, because this isn't coming out for a week, and I've got a couple of little half days that I might sneak a film in, and I want to catch Justice League, and I want to catch a few other things. There's a few other things on my list. I hadn't seen Dark Tower, but the reviews for that weren't great, but I thought it looked like good fun. I'm trying to think of others that I wanted to see but haven't. It's about it at the moment. As you can see, I saw a lot of films. Again, the reason I saw a lot of films was because I've got an Odeon Unlimited card and a Cineworld Unlimited, or whatever the name of that is. This isn't sponsored by them in any way. Alternatively, if they want to hit me up and give me just free films forever, or if you want to, any of them, holler at your boy. I will be doing this again next year, so the more free cinema trip, or they're not free because you pay for a yearly thing, rather, so you're getting a deal, but it's still supporting the arts. So yeah, anyway, that's that. Thank you all for tuning in. I will be posting this on social media. Probably I'll leave it until maybe Friday. So this is up on Wednesday. So Friday, or maybe I'll do it in next Monday to give you the weekend to listen to it. And then, yeah, that's it. I'll post it on the Monday. And that'll be, then you can go and comment. Obviously, you can tweet me or Instagram me or hit me up at ScroobiusPipio on the posts about this podcast. But that's when I'll be doing the big post and I'll get loads of people going, "Nah, you're wrong. You should have seen Blade Runner. You should have seen Mother." And I'll be like, "All right, mate, chill out." But yeah, thank you for tuning in. Oh, let's have the actual outro music and then I'll wrap up.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Discretion Pieces.
So there we go. That was me sitting in a room on my own with heaters on, talking about the films I've enjoyed most this year in the cinema. Thank you for tuning in, guys. If you're new to this podcast and you like films, let me tell you a few of the people I've had on this year. I've mentioned James McAvoy and Sophia Boutella and Will Poulter and Michael Fassbender, but and Chris Fairbank I've mentioned as well, haven't I? But I've also had Johnny Lee Miller. I've mentioned Armando and S. Craig Zahler. I'm going over my list now. I had Eddie Izzard on, and that was good, and we talked about acting and films as well as comedy. Alice Lowe, who had a great film out called Prevenge. Did I see that this year? I saw that this year. That should have been on my list of films I saw this year. Chris Fairbank and Neil Fitzmaurice. Kelly Marcel is a great episode because she's a script writer, so it's an interesting one. So check that out. Dave Johns, who did I, Daniel Blake, which was in my films of last year. Garth Jennings, James McAvoy. And then in previous years, I've just had a lot of good actors, so go and check them out. John Bradley, Michaela Cole. I'm going through my list. Ed Skrein, a two-parter with Ed Skrein. Kathy Blooming Burke. Stephen Graham. Jeez Louise. Paddy Considine. My oh my, come on, these are some grade A actors. Paddy Considine, come on. Simon Pegg, Nick Frost. I've had loads. I've had all the best ones. I haven't had all the best ones, but I've got some to come. In the new year, I'm going to have Lena Headey from Game of Thrones and from Dread. I'm hopefully going to finally have Zoe Ashton. I know we've talked about it for ages, but we've discussed it, so hopefully it will happen soon. Paloma Faith I've got lined up. Guz Khan. Loads of good guests in the new year, so keep listening. Next week, is it next week? Oh, next week I've got Alex Horn. As I record this, I've just got back from recording the Alex Horn one. So next week I've got Alex Horn from Taskmaster and the Alex Horn, the Horn section. So check that out next week. And then after that, it'll be the Drunk Cast all over Christmas and the New Year. And that's going to be a ruddy bloody mess. thank you for tuning in. Head to speechofelementrecords.com if you want to buy anything to support the podcast. You can get a Distraction Pieces podcast mug or a t-shirt, all these things that support this free podcast that comes to you every week. But other than that, thank you very much for tuning in, and I will see you next week. Ta-ta!
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.